Air. What were we looking at last week? Proverbs. And we're not going to get back. I'm not going to repeat the whole thing of what we went into and all it. Other than we know that King Solomon wrote it. Generally wrote most of Proverbs, wrote Ecclesiastes, wrote Song of Solomon. Very wise guy, you know, and very knowledgeable along those lines. And it's because of why. First Kings and things there, around First Kings 3, 5, and 15, and 14, and the first of that area, you'll find that, you know, that's what he asked God for. Out of all that he could ask God for, he asked God that he just wanted to know how to deal with people. That's a pretty important thing, isn't it? How to deal with people. Give me wisdom. Give me knowledge so I can handle these things. And God did that, and abundantly over that, he gave him that. Plus, he blessed him, and he blessed him with even material things. And it's because, you know, he had a humble heart, I think. You know, Solomon just wanted to say, Lord, help me understand these people, and let me have wisdom and knowledge to be able to share with them. And so we find that Proverbs is full of wisdom and knowledge for all of us today, isn't it? Remember, I talked a little bit about the breakdown of Proverbs, and I said, well, we're just going to kind of walk through it a little bit here, and there's so much in there, there's no way we're going to read every verse, every chapter type of a thing to a point. We'll try to pull out some things that speak to us, and hopefully there's many other things that'll speak to you as well. But we did start last week, and we talked in the very beginning at Proverbs 1, where it's to know wisdom and instruction. That's what Proverbs is about, to have instructions and to have wisdom. It's to receive instructions for wisdom. And this is all in verses 1 through about 6. And it's talking about to a wise man will hear and increase in learning. A wise man. You learn something new every day, don't you? No matter how old you are, you should be learning something new every day. A better way of doing something, a quicker way, whatever. And it's not to cheat through things or anything like that. It's just through normal wisdom, normal understanding, growing and developing, that you begin to increase in learning. You begin to attain wise counsel. You get to the point where maybe people will come to you and ask for wisdom. You might think of that and like, well, I don't know if I've got any wisdom. But if you hang around God long enough, hang around his scriptures long enough, hang around wise people and people of wisdom, generally those things will do what? They'll rub off on you, and you will learn something that somebody in your path down the road will come across your path, and you will be able to share, and you will look to them to be a wise person, and they'll go, wow, my goodness, you know, Dawn's really a wise person. I don't know how she learned that. Well, probably her time with the Lord, her time of going through situations, her times of waiting upon the Lord, reading his word, listening to things, and people have spoken to her life, or into Lou, or Willie, or Pat, or any one of us here as people speak into our lives. So it's just a matter of being a sponge of things to learn. Now, we look at in verse 7, chapter 1, verse 7, of Proverbs is really an interesting one, and it's one of the main key factors throughout the Bible, isn't it? We find that wisdom, the fear of the Lord, is expressed in many ways, and this is the theme that is repeated throughout the book as the key. The means, the secret of obtaining genuine wisdom. It is not by that of terror. It's not to be scared and, oh, I'm worried and this guy's a tyrant or anything like that. But it's in awe, in respect of knowing who God is. And as we look at this, it says in 1:7, the fear of the Lord is what? Is the beginning of knowledge. It's just the start of something. You've got to start somewhere, don't you? You got to have square one. So why not start with square one in your journey with the Lord? Is number one is to fear the Lord in a reverential fear of knowing God is who God is. So as the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, we've all been around, and hopefully they're not here with you today. We've been around fools that have despised wisdom and directions and instructions. And you can tell where that's going. You can't tell them anything, can you? They have to learn it on their own. As much as we've been through it, let me tell you, don't do this. I've done this when I was younger, and it's like it's going to just destroy you. I can tell you where you're going to end up, whatever it might be. But generally, a lot of times, as sad as it is, you know, fools despise wisdom and instructions. They've got to learn it on their own. So sometimes you just have to write it off and say, okay, you'll learn it. It's going to come your way. And it doesn't matter what age. You know, sometimes we look at it as, oh, that's the kids need to see this and hear this and understand this. But it's through all age brackets. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter if you're in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, 60s. There are some immature 70-year-old people out there. 60-year-olds, 50-year-olds. So it's not, you know, monetarily where you're at in age as far as your understanding and your development and listening and growing in wisdom and knowledge. But it says, fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge is this: knowing, understanding, having intelligence. It's having wisdom. It's having discernment. It's having a skill. It comes from a verb that says to know. This thing occurs more than 90 times. Now, we do know in Hosea 4:6, we find in the Word of God where it says this, that my people perish for what? A lack of knowledge. Or they are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. That should tell us, guys, young and old, man and woman, with the lack of knowledge, you're going to perish. You've got to have it. You have to have wisdom. You have to have this understanding of knowing, the intelligence, the discernment, the skill. You know when things are bad. I think even within us, we have that spirit within us, just a spirit that normally is within us before we even really get hooked up to God and the spirit comes alive. There's a lot of times just in general nature of human beings, you know what's bad. You know what's good. And yet we still have to try to find out if I can get away with being bad. Or I don't want to do good. I don't want to be a do-gooder. I want to. And now here's the thing that you find in this Proverbs is that we hook up with the wrong crowd of people, don't we? Young and old, wrong crowd of people at work, the wrong crowd of people in school, the wrong crowd of people in your neighborhood, wherever it is, in the parks, whatever it might be, that we hook up with the wrong people. It says this, my son, in verse 8, hear the instructions of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Listen to your parents. Listen to your adults. Amen. They're there to help you. And if you do this, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head. And do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will, law will be a graceful ornament on your head and the chains about your neck. My sons, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Do not consent. Now, I like this little easy read thing here. It says this. My son, some people love to do bad things. Verse 10, Psalms 1. Psalms 1, verse 10. My son, some people love to do bad things, and those people will try to make you do bad things too. Don't listen to them. Simple as that. Don't listen to them. Those bad people might say, come with us, we're going to hide and wait for someone to kill. We will attack an innocent person. We will kill that person. We will send that person to the place of death. We will destroy that person, send them to the grave. We will steal all kinds of things worth lots of money. We will fill our houses with things that we steal. So come with us and help us. Run. Run from them type of people. That's what it's saying. It's a warning against joining bad people. And there are bad people. I guess the first thing of wisdom and understanding is that you've got to realize what? There's bad people out there. Not everybody out there is good, is it? There's bad people. So it goes on and talks about these things. And it says that sinners will entice you. Verse 15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. King James Version 1:15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. But I like that. Do not walk in the way. What's that tell you? You can't really befriend them. You should not become friends with them. You shouldn't hang out with them. It's telling us that the path that they're on is not going to be a good path. It's telling us here that keep your foot from their path. Don't follow them. Now, how many of us like to follow the leader? You know, there's that old thing out there that there's the alpha, and then there's those that just follow. The alpha, we got to follow this person. They know what's going on. I want to look like them. I want to be like them, you know. And we end up sometimes following the wrong them. We find that we're following the person that all of a sudden we find in a few years down the road, they're the ones that have dropped off the earth. They're either in jail, they're in prison, they're out on down on their luck. They have nothing. All the stuff is gone from them. And it could be the fact where they even lost their life because of the life that they lived. It'll eventually catch up with them, won't it? You can try to be bad, but bad will not always be there. It'll catch up. The law is there. But then we get into verse 20, and it's talking about wisdom calls aloud. And then we see that in this, as your version and your Bible starts talking to it, kind of like it kind of personalizes it. And it's calling wisdom she or her. Just kind of a personal thing, you know, as he's calling out. So he's going, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. Wisdom is out there. Wisdom is crying out there. People have no excuse not to follow wisdom. Wisdom is out there. It's just who you decide to follow, who you decide to run with, what you decide to listen to. Remember, it started way back when we were growing up as children. It says, listen to your fathers, listen to your mothers. Might in this day and age, maybe we have a family that maybe it's only led by that of the mother or the father, or and maybe they have no parents per se. They're with their grandmother or grandfather. Maybe they're with a guardian, somebody that has taken them in. I guess what I get from this is listen to those that are overseeing you. Listen to those that are your guardian. Listen to those that they are there to care for you and to take care of you. And this is talking as children. You know, this all begins when we're what? When we're kids. How many here started this life as a child? Well, my goodness, 100%. I'm floored. We all start as children learning step by step. Sometimes fall by fall. You learn when you fall, you get back up, right? And so we've all learned, and we come into this life, and we all have the same opportunities as far as to the point of you can choose what you want to do. You can choose to be bad. You can choose to be good. You can choose to change your ways, or you can choose to stay where you're at, right? I mean, it's all there for our choices. The Lord has given us that ability even to choose Him with our choices. Choose this day who you will serve. So we have the best of anything because we've got the ability to choose, and it's like, what are you going to choose? Well, I trust and hope you choose wisdom and knowledge and understanding of things so that you are productive, so that you do attain things. The Lord wants to give you things, amen. He wants to bless you, but when it talks about that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, if we don't follow Him, if we don't obey Him, it's going to be kind of hard for Him to bless us. We've got to adhere to the things that He's asked us to do, or not to do. So we find out, it says in Proverbs 1:20, that wisdom is calling aloud. Sometimes it needs to really call aloud to some people because they just don't change, do they? They just keep going on that path down here where it says, you know, do not walk on the way with them. You know, it says here, keep your foot from their path. It's hard sometimes. Wisdom is trying to yell at that person, stop what you're doing, change your direction, change your focus of friends, whatever the case might be. We find in 133, where it says, but whoever listens to me, remember it's personalized, this is wisdom, whoever listens to me, wisdom will dwell what? What does your Bible say? Safely? Safely. You will dwell safely. Now, how many here like to be in a safe place? I like safety. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely, and they will be secure are at ease without fear of evil. Now, how many here know that when you know you're doing bad or you know that you're not doing things right, isn't it terrible that you've got to go through life always doing what? Looking over your shoulder. to see if the man's coming after you, to see if somebody's coming after you that you've done them wrong. I mean, there's even within thieves, there's danger amongst the thieves. I mean, let me tell you, you get people even in gangs. If you don't stay hooked up to the gang, or you get them messed up, or you don't stay where you want that, where they want you to be, they very could well just kill you. You're nothing to them as well. You know, if you don't keep your allegiance to them, I mean, I don't understand all this stuff, but, you know, they get tattoos and they get these markings and all, and it's like, okay, once you say this oath, you can never leave us. If you leave us, we'll kill you. It's like, oh, my. So all of a sudden, these people grow up, you know. How many here have grown up since you've got born? Well, praise God. We're seeing 100% on that, too. We're growing up. And as we grow up, we decide, you know what, this is kind of foolish what I got myself hooked into at 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years of age. I need to get out of it. Well, now you don't realize you set an oath to this group of wackos that are going to kill you if you leave. So now you're going to say, well, now I've matured, now I've got wisdom, now I've got to go through this life looking over my shoulder to see that they're not following me to take me out because I went against whatever the oath was. Right? But we find here where it talks about, let's talk about this. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure. Remember, secure, be at ease. How many wants to be at ease at life? If you're at ease and you go through life without fear, you're going to have a good life. Amen? And you're not going to have to be wondering what's around the corner. Who's following me? I wonder if that guy is mad at me. I wonder if that guy is going to get even with me. I wonder if that's the law back there. I wonder if that's the police. I wonder if it's whatever the case might be. I wonder if it's my mom and dad chasing me down, you know? It's like, you better be more worried about mama and dad ass sometimes than anybody else, you know, if the mama and daddy were really doing their thing. But it says that, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely. Safely is this. There is security. Or securely. A safety, I'm sorry, we'll be talking about securely. You'll be secure. It talks about in safety there's confident, there's peace, there's trusting, there's the state of confidence, security, safety that belongs to those who trust and rely upon the Lord. And that's the safety as we depend upon the Lord, as we obey the Lord, as we go back to the fear of the Lord. I encourage you today to nothing else. If you haven't already, today be the first day that you begin to fear the Lord reverently for who He is and what He's done and what He can do. The beginning of wisdom is the beginning of that. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely. And then we get into chapter 2. And we're looking at this, and there's some things here that qualify some things here. Let's just read through this, and you pick up on what the qualifier is, okay? My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For here it is in verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. Who gives wisdom? The Lord. The Lord wants to give you wisdom. He wants you smart. Amen. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. In verse 7, He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. The Lord, He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. In verse 8, He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Woo! Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. And it goes on and on. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, it's talking a lot of good things. You just have to continue to read that. But we got to go back up to the first few verses there of chapter 2 because there's a qualifier in that. Now, you know, whenever you read something, and that big word, this is the biggest word that you'll ever come into, probably, that makes the difference of going this way or going that way. Well, what's that? Well, let's go up. Let's go up the highway. We're going up 90, 94, and I get up to Toma, and 90 goes one way, and 94 goes the other way. And I say, well, you come to the split in this highway, if you turn left and follow this, you're going to go this way. And if you go this way, if you turn right and stay on the highway, you're going to go that way. What happens? There's a decision there that I got to make, and it's that if. The if. IF. Can you believe that such a small word, IF, has such a meaning of causing either good or bad? Look in chapter 2. Look at 1. My son, what's that third word? If. If you receive my words, then you get down to third verse. Yes. If you cry out for discernment. Verse 4. If you seek her as silver. If you do all those things, what is the outcome? It says, my outcome is in verse 5. If I receive the words, if I cry out, if I seek her as silver, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. You begin to read after. It's very important when you begin to read things in Scripture where if you do this, if you do that, if you don't do this, if this happens, if you're on this track, if, then you read after those verses. It tells you that this is what you're going to get. Amen? So now, if I don't receive his words, because it says, if you receive my words, well, what happens if I don't receive your words? Well, what happens if I don't cry out for discernment? Well, I don't want to seek her as silver. Well, if I don't do those things, what am I not going to have? I'm not going to have the understanding of the fear of the Lord and to find the knowledge of God. I'm not going to find any of those things without doing those ifs. So your day today is important that you've got to decide the if in your life. If you want to do it, this is what happens. If you don't want to do it, this is also what's not going to happen. So what is this as we get into this? Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Understand the fear of the Lord. What does that mean to understand? Anybody here? Do you understand? It says here that this is that then you will understand the fear of the Lord. To understand, you will be able to discern the fear of the Lord. You will be able to perceive the fear of the Lord. You'll be able to grasp the fear of the Lord. Consider the fear of the Lord. Regard the fear of the Lord. Be perceptive. Have insight. Then you will understand, you will have insight, you will have perspective of what? The fear of the Lord. If you receive my words and treasure my commands, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, if you cry out for discernment, and if you seek her as silver, then you're going to perceive and you're going to have these things. Amen. That's a great promise, really, isn't it? I mean, these things are full of promises. These are the things that we look at and we say, well, what if I do these things, what will happen? If I follow these statutes or these commands or these directions or whatever it is of the Lord, what do I get out of this deal? You get a lot. So let's go through. As I broke down the Proverbs 1 through 9, okay, we've just went through chapter 1, verses 8 to 9 are going to talk about obeying your parents. Chapter 1, verses 10 to 19, you're going to be deciding or reading about avoiding bad company, who you're hanging out with. We find in chapter 1, verses 20 to chapter 2, 22, you begin to find out that these are the things of seeking wisdom. You've got to seek it, amen. It's a precious. It's like silver. Wasn't it say like that? You know, you says here, seek her as silver. You know, silver. That's pretty precious. And so through that of chapter 2:22, you're finding talking about seeking wisdom and all. Now, we get into chapter 3, we find out that there's benefit. Well, what's the benefit of this thing? How many here, whenever we do something in life and we have to do this or that, how many here say, well, now, if I do that, what's the benefit? What do I get out of it? Is there anything worth getting out of? Is it something that I want? What is this benefit? You go to work with a company and you find out, well, this is your pay, da-da-da-da, that's good. But now what are other side benefits of this job? What kind of health care do I have? What kind of savings program do I have? What kind of a vacation program? What are the benefits if I come and work for you? What are the benefits if I do this? We are a people that we want to know the benefits, right? What's it all about? What? It's good to get money per hour, but I like some other benefits. And that's the thing it is. It's not always just how much you make per hour. You've got to look at the whole thing, really, to find out if it's, as a company, is it good for other benefits that I get out of it? So we look at and need to find, you know, the benefits of these things. So what's about the benefits of wisdom? And that's where you'll find in verse or chapter 3, and my heading here talks about in the easy read in chapter 3, it starts that living right will add to your life. New King James has guidance for the young. So, you know, it's one of those things as far as the heading over chapter 3. And it says that, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart do what? Keep my commands. The easy read version says, my son, don't forget my teachings. Remember the things that I tell you. The things that I teach you will give you a longer, happier, and more peaceful life. That's the easy read. I like that. Where it says that the things that I teach you will give you a longer, happier, and more peaceful life. The New King James says it this way. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. The length of days and long life and peace, they will be added to you. Wisdom is important. Wisdom is vital. As we look at this and we keep the commands of the things of what the Lord is about, my goodness, I don't know. I look forward to that length of time and longer time with the Lord and just in the things that He wants us to do here. The things that I teach you will give you a longer, happier, and more peaceful life. The things, now remember, this is wisdom talking. As we are becoming wise with wisdom, we will have added days to our life. Well, it should add that way. It, you know, for the most part, wisdom, we should be able to know what's right and wrong. And if you want to live a long life, probably wisdom tells me I don't want to go 120 miles down the interstate and hit something. Or I don't want to do something that could destroy my life or you know, take, you know, drugs and drink alcohol in excess or whatever the case might be. Even eating too much can destroy your life. And things have to be under control. You have to have things in measurable amounts, and wisdom is a part of that. You know, we go to the doctor and the doctor says, well, it's not necessarily people that have weight on. There's people that they're as thin as a rail and they go, you got high cholesterol. It's like, well, how? I thought that only happened to people that had a lot of weight. And you go to a person that's thin and slender and they go, you got high blood pressure. It's like, well, I thought that happened to people that, you know, were heavy set. It's the makeup of the person. It's the chemistry, the physiologically thing of the person and all that type of stuff. And so you go to the doctor and the doctor finds these things out and he says, you know, wisdom probably tells us you ought to do this or stop that or do this or take this or even prescribe medication to help your system adjust to what needs to be adjusted. That's what? That's wisdom. Wisdom gives you what? Life, added life, long life. But we look at this. It'll lengthen the days of your life. It'll make them longer. Then verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with what? Woo! With all your heart. Lean not on to your own understanding. Now, there's some people you can't tell anything to. Some people know it all. I think that goes back to the times in the beginning of Proverbs where they just don't listen. What is that? But fools despise wisdom and instruction. It all ties back to that. Well, you will receive it or not. And then we find out that, oh my good, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And He will do what? Direct your path. In all your ways acknowledge Him. In all your ways. That tells me that you acknowledge Him more than just on Sunday morning. You acknowledge Him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Friday and Thursday. And I don't think you just acknowledge him at church. You acknowledge him at home. You acknowledge him at work. You acknowledge him on the golf course. You acknowledge him when you're fishing. You acknowledge him when you're shopping. You are 24/7, 365, a child of God. And he's there in your life, and he's there. You're honoring, you're fearful, the fear of the Lord. There's the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, and it's not that I fear him because he's going to stomp on me. I just fear him because I know who God is, and I just want him more and more in my life. So we look at these things, and it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he's going to direct your path. Well, is that important for your path? Who here wants your path directed? Thank God. How many people before GPS, how many people like to have a map when you're going to some place you didn't know where you're going? How many here, even though you got that person that talks to you on GPS, you're still glad to have a map in front of you so you can read the map? Yeah. Hallelujah to that. My goodness. Praise the Lord. Pass the bucket. Because sometimes that little thing that's talking to you on the phone, they don't tell you the same thing all the time. It's like, you know, I had one place where I was going to and they said, turn right, or your destination's on your right. There ain't no place over there. It's on my left. Okay, so they got me close. They got me within the block, within in front of it. But they just went to that point. But that tells us that sometimes that we put sometimes too much credence in all this technology and all this satellite stuff and all this GPS stuff. And this thing is just marvelous. It points where I'm at. And if I hold my phone up and point this way, the little needle goes this way. And so that's north. Oh, that's south. And all this type of stuff. That's all well and good, but I can't put my total confidence and my total trust in that gizmo. There's sometimes you just have to sometimes have a map. I remember coming back one time last year back or so and through Chicago, and I don't know why this little thing on our phone said turn right, and I was like lambs led to the slaughter. It's like turn to your right. Okay, I will. So I did, and I'm right down on like the main streets of Chicago. Like, what in the world? I'm supposed to stay on this depressed lane and go right around Chicago. This character sent me right down to the heart of Chicago. What in the world? And we got off. It's too late then. I look at my wife. I go, I think we shouldn't have been down here. This is not holding interstate speed. And even then, it's like probably 45 or 50. I don't know. In the interstate, if it was crowded, I don't know. But, you know, so you listen, and it's amazing how we are so tuned in, and all of a sudden that thing says, make a right at the next exit. Okay, psh, you get off, and you go, this is not right. Sometimes we put too much in other people telling us what to do and how to do it. Now, we talked earlier about being wisdom, and you ask others. It's good to be around wise counsel. As a pastor here, I've got like the advisor group that I have that I can talk about business things of the church with, and what do you think, or is this a good move, is this not a good move, and we got the leadership that I can get around and say, you know, what about this, or how about you, what do you guys feel about this, guys and gals, you know, and it's good because there's wisdom and there's safety in numbers, okay, and it's interesting to be around people to say, well, I can get thoughts and things like that, but, and it's good, you know, to have a spouse to where you can bounce things off of the spouse, and the spouse will correct a lot of things for us, the man or the woman, the husband or the wife, you know, they will help you through things. So it's good to listen to others, and it's those that you place high confidence in that these people will not lead me astray. Because you look at their character, you look at their background, you look at where they've come from, you look at what they've been through or not been through, you know, hallelujah, glory to God. It's like, you know, if your car is not working right, you don't want to go to a mechanic that his car is broke. It's like, well, why can't you get your car fixed? Why can't you keep your car running? And I'm going to let you work on my car? I don't think so. So you look at the individual, you look at the situation, and you look at the background, and you go, okay, I think it's probably important or it's good for me to listen to maybe some of the advice or the wisdom of this person or this group of people. So wisdom, it's good. Counsel of the godly. So in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. In verse 6, he will make it straight. He will make it right. He will make it upright. He will make it pleasing. He will make it good. That's the directing of your path. I don't see anything wrong in that. I don't think I would like to be, I don't see any, I would love, you know, my path that he has me on and as he's directing my path. I think it's awesome that I would look at it and say, well, the path I'm on is on the right path. It's on the upright path. It's the pleasing path. It talks about here that this word in the Hebrew, it's meaning to make straight and right. God will straighten out the path of his devoted, trusting servants. The Lord will straighten out the path. That tells me that, you know, at times my path might get crooked because of my own inklings of doing things, and I get off base, I get off path a little bit. But if I'm truly following him and allowing him to speak into my life, if I'm following wisdom, if I'm listening to maybe people around me that he's put around me that I could be listening to, and I have confidence in them, and God's speaking to me, that it tells me that God will direct my path, and he will straighten out my path. How many here want your path straightened out? There's some things that I've taken some turns here and there in my life that I wish I hadn't. But praise God that he straightened those paths, he straightened those turns, and pretty soon I find myself, my feet are planted back on his path. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So as I acknowledge him, as you acknowledge him, he shall direct your path. Verse 7, do not be wise into your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions. And this is a good area here. We just might stop here because we're wrapping up on time here, and it'll be time for your giving and your tithe and offerings. But here it says, even in Proverbs, in verse 9, 3:9, honor the Lord with your possessions. Honor the Lord with your possessions. And with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. In the Easy Read version, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Give him the best you have. Then you will have all you need. Your barns will be full of grain, and your barrels will be overflowing, or will be flowing over with wine. I want to look at just quickly when it says this, be filled. Be filled. When we hear that word, to be filled, it's to fill. It's to fill up. Now, how many here know, like when you go to the gas station and you got the money and you can fill your tank of gas, it's good to fill it up to what? Up to the neck, man. Just where it's up to the very top. That's a what? That's a full tank of gas, right? Then I know that when it's filled to the full, that I can't get any more in it, that I'm going to go further, right? So we look at these things as far as being filled. And you go to the buffet, you walk away from that after about 3 hours of eating. 3 hours, what? As you go and you eat and you eat and you eat and you walk away, you got your fill to the brim. Some of us will be filled to overflowing. Now, I don't know if that's overflowing the size of your britches and stuff, and there's, you know, it's overflowing hanging over the belt, maybe it means that, but, you know, we get filled. And so there's things in our life that we like to be filled with, right? And we like to eat to the fullness. We like to, you know, if we can afford it, put gas totally into the tank. We like to have this or that, whatever the case might be, filled and full. So as we look at this, where it says that your barns will be filled with plenty, it's talking about it'll be filled, be full, to fulfill. It's talking about here in this Hebrew word is relating to fullness and fulfillment, filling up something to the brim. Causing something to be brought, causing something to be thoroughly saturated. What happens when you water a plant, and it starts out pretty dry, and you keep watering that plant, and you look in the bottom of the plant thing and all, and then pretty soon it gets to where it's saturated, and the water doesn't even soak in anymore, but it does what in the pot? It just overflows. It comes, runs out of the pot. You know, you look at sometimes where, like yesterday, going down to Beloit to the Riverside Park, and the way that rain came, I was in the right lane. It didn't matter if you're in the right lane, the left lane. I was at the right lane to where it was at one time. It was at the higher elevation, so I knew all the water that was there would be running this way. So I'm in the right lane, but it was raining and coming so full and saturating the ground so fast that it was like I was going through puddles to where water was spraying up on top of the windshield. Now, granted, I was going 50 miles an hour. No. I was slowing down. I couldn't see. But even going at that 35 or so, or 30, 35, 40 miles an hour, it's just like the water just like just fluff, just coming up like a speedboat going down the Rock River. For a while, I thought I was in the river. But saturation. So as we look at this, remember, this is talking about honoring the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase so that your barns will be filled, so they will be full, overfilling, being thoroughly saturated. My goodness. Fulfillment, one word that is to declare that one will do something and then do it. I can't, let's see. Then do it. In 1 Kings, God promised to fill it all the earth, awareness, da-da-da-da. Okay, it just goes into a lot of different areas of the Bible and scriptures here to look at the to fill. But looking at it, to be thoroughly saturated, to be filled to the brim. And that's where we talk about it. And then we find that in the New Testament where the offering, it talks about 30, 60, and 100, or, you know, give unto the Lord and he will return back to you a blessing that you cannot contain and overflow and things of that nature. And those are all good things. And the Lord will do those things for you and bless you in those areas. And so today as we look at this, we will almost end on that. Just remember that. We're going to get ready for your tithe and offering. But honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits. And then let's look at this one last thing in verse 3 that I want to look at. And there's so many good verses that, you know, to hop, skip, and to jump through some of these things, it's just like it really doesn't do it justice. But if nothing else, if we can kind of enlighten you a little bit into some areas and maybe find some interest in it and say, well, what else does this wisdom have to say? And you begin to read through it, and there's a lot of powerful things. But let's look at 3:13. New King James 3:13 says that happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. And remember, here's that silver, talking about silver again. And remember, it's taken where it's personalized. It's kind of like wisdom is not just it. It's kind of made it like her. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. All the things that you have cannot compare to the wisdom that you will gain out of God's Word, out of following what Solomon is writing, out of looking at some of God's Word and how to put that into your life. So, the Easy Read says this, that, let me close with this side of it, says here, the person who finds wisdom will be very happy. That person will be blessed when he begins to understand. The profit that comes from wisdom is better than silver. The profit from wisdom is better than fine gold. Wisdom is worth more than jewels. Nothing you want is as valuable as wisdom. Wisdom gives you long life, riches, and honor. People with wisdom live peaceful, happy lives. Wisdom is like the tree of life. It gives full life to people that accept it. People that keep wisdom will be truly happy. The Lord used wisdom and understanding to make the earth and the skies. The Lord used his knowledge to make the oceans and the clouds that produce rain. My son, don't ever let wisdom out of your sight. Guard your ability to think and plan wisely. Wisdom and understanding will give you life and make it more beautiful. Then you will live safely and you will not fall. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you rest, your sleep will be peaceful. Don't be afraid of some sudden disaster. The Lord will give you strength. And don't be afraid of what evil people can do to you. The Lord will protect you and keep you from being trapped. Wisdom. Wisdom. Wow. I think in society as we go through things that if we all had a little bit more doses of wisdom, you'd probably have a more tranquil life. you probably wouldn't have to have nerve pills. You wouldn't have to have stress pills. You wouldn't have to have all kinds of things out there to help us be calm and to go through life because of the things that are on us. But it's just that wisdom. We've got to be wanting it, willing, and asking for it. Praise God. Praise God.